Hey everybody, welcome to Two Sisters Formula One and Then Some. I'm Elizabeth and I'm here with my sister.
Hello, I'm Grace.
So basically, we have become obsessed with Formula One over quarantine after watching Drive to Survive, as many other people have, and our entire families are tired of listening to us rant and rave about it. So we decided to just rant and rave to ourselves and record it, and maybe other people will want to listen to it too. Right?
Yes. I mean, I'm surprised you don't get tired of me talking to you about it, but here we are.
The obsession is real.
So this is the layout, right? We're doing our top 10 personal drivers, and then we're going to talk about the sprint race at Silverstone, because this is being reported July 12th, and it hasn't happened yet. So we're doing sprint race, predictions, and then what we think the top five finishers for that race will be, right?
Correct. I have my notes ready.
Me too.
Are we ready to share our favorite drivers?
Yes. Are we starting from the bottom?
Maybe we should. I think that's a good idea.
Because I know we know our top three most likely, like each other's.
But the bottom of the list is going to be a surprise.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we're starting from the bottom, right?
Yes.
You can go first.
Disclaimer, these are all our personal favorites.
Not all based on talent. Some have personality.
Yes. But mostly just personality. Okay. I'm going to start with my number 10. And that is Lewis Hamilton.
I figured it would be. I figured that.
I mean, Lewis is the GOAT.
Yes.
We have to put some respect on his name. He is a bit whiny, which is where he loses me. But, you know. He has his moments that can be appreciated.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes. I'll expand on that more because he is in my top 10, but he's not my 10th yet.
Okay, so that's what I have to say about Lewis. In my number 10 spot, who's your number 10?
My number 10 spot, I think, is going to throw you for a loop. It is Nicholas Latifi.
That doesn't really surprise me because every time I mention him, you're like, but I like him, though.
Yes. I get that he's a paid driver, but he's just so sweet. And, like, he's definitely progressed since his rookie year last year. And he's in a Williams. Like, what are we really expecting from him? He's not a George Russell talent. I know that. But he's such – I feel like he's a nice guy. Everybody likes him, you know, compared to some other paid drivers that we have on the grid. He's
– I will say the F1 video where George and Latifi – reacted to each other's F1 2021 game. I did give him some points for that. He was pretty cute in that.
Yeah, he has his own personality. He's Canadian. He's the best we can really root for right now on this side of the pond. So, yeah, that's my 10th.
I'm down with it. I honestly forget that he even exists.
I mean, I think, everybody does. He's in a Williams. People would forget always if it wasn't for some of those games.
It's him, Mick, and Nikita. Always. At the bottom.
Yeah. I hope he does better once these new regs come into play, but
if he's still a driver on the grid.
I think he will be. I'd be very surprised, but I like him. That's my 10th. I think it's solid.
You know what I did think about the other day?
What?
Is if Haas decided to get rid of Mazepin, they should try and get Latifi.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I don't think he has as much money as.
That's what I was thinking. My worry, I would rather, granted Haas is an American F1 team, I think I would rather Nikita stay as a driver of a team than kick him out and make his dad want to buy a team. I do not want there to be a team owned by that family.
Well, if Gene Haas doesn't want to sell Haas, then there's not really a way for him to get into F1.
Yeah, but it's just like how long is Haas? If they don't get it right with these regulations, how long is he?
I'm thinking like next year, 2022 or 2023, is when Latifi could come in if they get rid of Mazepin and It would make sense because it's an American team, a Canadian driver. At least he's North American.
Yeah.
We could get away from the Russia.
Not have a Russia livery.
Yeah, let's get rid of that completely. And I think people would actually root for him. Maybe he has enough experience to do better, help out with the car. I don't know. I think that could work.
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely be down with it. That'd give you a reason to root for him more, so I'm down.
I mean, I don't dislike him. I just kind of forget about him.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Okay, number 9, Charles Leclerc.
I'm not surprised because I surprised myself making this list, and I'll get to that, but I understand. I get that one as well.
I like him. I think he is very sweet, but his driving is a little suspect at times. He can be way too aggressive and risky at the detriment of the other drivers.
Yeah, funny enough, I watched the season 3 episode of Drive to Survive at the gym with Ferrari, and it just got me thinking, like, was he so good in the car in 2019 because Ferrari were clearly getting some engine enhancement from somewhere? We don't really know the details of it, but, like, I think he's a talented young driver. Like, I would definitely say I get people putting him up there with Max. Obviously, he's not near Max, but he's the only, like, young guy besides Pierre that's won races besides Pierre and Max. So I understand, or he's from Monaco. So I get it. And Jules, I understand that whole, I get it. I like him. But yeah, I think last year, I liked him more than I do this year because of that exact issue. He's just very, very risky sometimes.
Well, I wonder how good he is too, because, you know, everyone is so quick to put him up there with Max. But again, in 2019, Ferrari had the illegal engine, and Seb was struggling. So how did he just look good because of those things, and he's really not on Max's level? Because I think Max is like a generational talent. I don't know if he'll be as good as Lewis, but he'll be close to that level. And I don't know if anyone else on the grid is on that level. So I wouldn't be so quick to put Charles up there with Max.
I will say, with Max, wasn't he the youngest guy to come in to Formula One? He was what, like 18? Or yeah, he was 18, I think. 18 and some days.
He was 17. I think he was 17.
So obviously they have, okay, you look it up. Obviously they have like rules against that now.
Yeah, Max was aged 17 years, 166 days. Let's also not forget that Max won his first race with Red Bull.
Yeah.
His first time sitting in that seat.
I hear that, but, like, also, I haven't watched that race, so I don't know, like, what all went wrong or went right with other drivers for that to happen. I mean, I think Max is a great driver, but I just wonder so much.
Well, here's the other thing about Charles is Carlos has been extremely competitive with Charles and is kind of on par with him this season, which I think Carlos is really good as well. But it is hard to know exactly how good Charles is because of all those reasons.
Yeah, I think he's handled the Ferrari downfall well. Because, I mean, to be honest, for how bad that Ferrari was, he got a podium at the first race last year. And, like, he put that car in places it should not have been. I would say mainly the beginning of last season. So I'll give him props for that. But, yeah. Okay.
Okay, who's your number 9?
My 9 is Lewis Hamilton.
I figured if he was, he was going to be 9.
Same reason as you. He's a GOAT. He's amazing. I think when I first started watching Formula One, I was kind of like the, oh, he's got the best car type of person. But now seeing, A, he rarely makes mistakes, but also B, when he does, whether it's, you know, he gets lucky or whatever, he's able to, like, come back. You know, maybe he doesn't win. Maybe he does. But he comes back. He gets points. He gets podiums. I mean, to constantly be that on point. Yeah. You gotta have something going for you. So, he's my ninth.
I hear you. Okay. My number eight is Mick Schumacher.
Oh, that's lower than I thought.
I mean, I think it'll make sense once we get into the rest of the list. But you can't not root for Mick.
I agree.
I don't think there's a single person who doesn't want him to eventually win races and be at Ferrari.
Besides people that don't like Michael Schumacher for whatever reason.
I mean, even if you don't like Michael Schumacher, Mick's story is still so good, and you just want him to do well.
There's so much potential for, like, other members of family sitting on the grid.
Yeah. I think watching Mick and Max race together would be really cute, especially if Mick was in a competitive car, just because their dads raced together and were friends.
What
can you say?
That's where I get confused. I get confused on where Mick will end up and if it will be a good car, because obviously everybody thinks he'll go to Ferrari at some point. Will Ferrari be back on the rise at that point?
I think before he ends up at Ferrari, he'll be an Alpha.
See, I don't think so. I don't like that rumor also. I want him to stay at Haas. He has such a good engineer. He has, basically has a therapist for an engineer. I think he likes all the Haas guys. I think they know, like, oh, dang, we got a Schumacher. We got a, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's going to, I really, like, when I think of, like, where the grid will be in 5 years, I have so many question marks.
Yeah, it's going to change a lot. And it kind of scares me, to be honest, because I don't want a lot of the drivers to leave.
Yeah, but I know some of the F2 guys, and if some of the F2 guys that I like are on the grid, it's going to be good. So
that's fair.
My number eight, you make me feel bad now for putting him so low. It's Max Verstappen. Wow. I love Max. I do, but I don't know. He's kind of like a Kimmy. He doesn't really care much for media stuff, which I understand, but you don't see too much of his personality besides the aggressiveness, which I like sometimes. But also, I wonder, say he beats Lewis this year, which I hope he does, and, you know, next year, whatever, it's not Lewis and Max. Like, how many people that were rooting for Max aren't going to be rooting for Max next year because he has beat Lewis? And if there is potential for, like, another driver to win the championship, like, I wonder, you know, how much that'll change.
But yeah, I think a lot of people will jump off the Max bandwagon if he consistently starts to win the same way that people didn't like Seb, the same way people don't like Lewis. I mean, he's going to get hate on eventually, but I think a lot of that does have to do with his attitude too. But I love his attitude.
Yeah, I think there definitely needs to be drivers with that type of attitude that don't care for the most part.
He's a very intense person.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he is where he is.
I will say it's really nice to see how much he's, like, grown. I mean, he's still so young, but also we go back to, you know, him coming in so early. But people talk about in Drive to Survive, the mistakes that he made, like in Monaco 2018 with Daniel. Yeah. When Daniel was with him still, I'm pretty sure. Crashed the car.
He crashed the qualifying.
And, you know, Christian really wanted him to win that race. So I think it's I like that we've been able to see him get better. But yeah, he's my eight.
I agree. Okay, my number seven, Kimi Raikkonen.
I figured he'd be on your list somewhere.
Yeah. He will forever crack me up. Just his attitude of not caring at all. And honestly, it doesn't even really seem that he cares about racing that much. Like when he said racing was just his hobby. He's just out there living his life.
So this is my thing with Kimi. I love Kimi. I do. But But I think after the last race where he just went into Sebastian, I'm just like...
He needed Sebastian off the track?
At this point, I'm like, okay, Kenny, you've made history. I think it is time, especially knowing the guys that could take his spot. I love Kimi. He's not on my list. I wish he was, but I went back and forth through this. But yeah, that's what I think of Kimi.
I think it's probably time for him to go, but I will miss him.
Oh, yeah.
And I will miss his funny moments in the F1 videos when he just stares blankly at the camera.
We're on 7.
Mm-hmm.
7 is Charles. I've kind of
already
talked about that. I think so when I first made this list, I was just, like, listing the drivers I knew, like, in my head that I liked. And I think, like, at first he was 4th. And I started looking at the rest of my people, and I was like, no, I don't think he is.
I think before the season started, we both probably would have put him a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about him this season, but he's low-key getting on my nerves.
I think it was the first Austrian race, the Styrian Grand Prix, where he just, you know, screwed up Pierre's race, who then screwed up Nicholas and I think Antonio's race. And then he was able to change his wing and then go from like 18th to like 7th. I think that was annoying. He didn't get investigated.
It just doesn't seem like he's maturing with those kinds of mistakes. You know, you can make excuses for the first couple years, but he just keeps going for gaps that aren't there, wrecking people, getting caught up in traffic. Like, at a certain point, it's like, dude, you've got to calm down and just be patient.
Yeah. I think the same thing.
Okay. So my number 6, George Russell.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why is that surprising?
I mean, I have a few names that I hope are probably before that, but still, I guess I kind of get it because he's in a Williams, so you don't really know. I mean, the fact that he made it to Q3 is kind of crazy, but you don't really know how much talent he has, I guess, right now.
I don't know.
There's a lot of speculation, but yeah.
I think we do after he stepped into Lewis's car.
I mean, yeah, I'm one of those that definitely thinks George is probably the 3rd best driver on the grid right now, if I'm being honest. But I know a lot of people don't think that. I think the reason that kind of question mark came into people's minds was just Imola and him, you know, the track was wet. He clearly, after looking at that incident, I understand both sides, but I think George just should have waited to pass Valtteri.
I think if it wasn't Valtteri, he would not have made that mistake.
Yeah.
I think it was strictly because it was Valtteri and he was thinking, if I make this pass, I have gotten Mercedes seat.
And it was going to look cool. It was going to be like the Sakhir Grand Prix. Was it? Yeah, that was Sakhir, where he did that pass with Valtteri, and even the Crofty, whoever, they said like, oh, this isn't normally where you see people overtaking. Like, he knew, if I do this, it's going to be a highlight. But also, I'm sure he also knew, if I screw this up, I'm going to get chewed out by Toto. So, and he did, I'm assuming.
I think he wanted to make Valtteri look as dumb as possible. And it got him.
Which he doesn't need to do. Yeah.
But
interesting.
It's so weird because he's known for being, like, a gentleman and so mature and, like, polished. And then that incident was kind of like, do we really know George? Like, is he just polite because he's in a Williams at the back of the grid? And when he actually starts fighting for podiums, he's going to...
See, like, I wonder about that. And then I also go into, like, the business side of, like, I wonder how much his gentlemanness is, like, marketing. Because, like, I mean, he always tweets, you know, congrats to Lando, congrats to Sergio who won the race that George should have won. He tweets all these things, and I'm like, that's really nice, but are you tweeting this? Is somebody else tweeting this for you? Like, I wonder how he's going to react when he's put into these very high, intensified moments.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So we'll see.
So my sixth, we've already talked about him, is Mick. I love Mick. I have such high hopes for Mick. He's adorable. I wish I paid attention more to F2 last year. I kind of only kept up towards the end. But I remember I was watching something about his first year in F2, which was 2019, I think, maybe. And they said that he struggled really badly in F2 in the beginning. So it's kind of crazy that he had such a bad year in F2. And then, like, the next year he comes back and he wins.
Well, so I think he struggled at the beginning and then came back in the end.
Yeah. I mean, we don't pay that much attention to F2. I try to keep up with it. I have some favorites, but so we don't know too much about that. But yeah, I think Mick had a bad first year in F2 and then kind of struggled in the beginning last year, but then ended up coming back. I know Robert Schwartzman. It was like him, Robert Schwartzman. I know Yuki. They were up in the top 5, I think, somewhere and all that. But yeah, so I like Mick. I hope he does well. Does his dad proud.
Everyone likes Mick. Okay, number 5.
We might have the same number 5.
No, I don't think we do.
No. You're so mean.
Why am I mean?
Just go ahead and say it.
Okay, my number 5 is Lando Norris. You can't be surprised.
I'm kind of mad because I kept your favorite up higher in my list than it probably is, but I'll get into that. But, yeah, I mean, go on. What you want to say about him?
I was going to say, I think George and Lando are probably tied, but I'll give Lando the bump because he's McLaren. That's my team. Lando, I think, just generationally, we don't jive as well as other drivers. He's kind of goofy. He has his funny moments, but I'm not a Lando fan.
So, say that Lando and Daniel were having both of them an average season, as in they were both, you know, staying in the top 10, you know, neither one of them was really outperforming the other. Do you think that would change Lando's position in your top 10?
No.
Okay.
Honestly, before this year, he probably would have been lower on my list. But I am happy that he's having such a good year. I mean, I don't dislike him. I just don't like him as much as you do.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. I understand. Kind of not surprised. Your thoughts, kinda.
One position.
Yep.
Okay, who's your number 5?
A man that I know is going to be in your top 3 or 4 now. It's old Seb.
Yay.
To be honest, and it could have been because of the year he had last year, he would have been, I don't even know if he would have been in my top 10, just because he wasn't performing well. I didn't know too much about him. I knew he had, you know, obviously the 4 world championships. And I was like, okay, yeah, he's great, but now he sucks. Like, what is this? But I think I respect him a lot more now seeing what he's doing. A for Mick. I love the whole, like, Michael was here for Seb, and now Seb's going to be here for Mick. I think
that relationship is cute as hell.
And I think that also, in my mind, I'm not a Lewis hater, I promise, but it's like when you're someone as great as, you know, Seb is going to be regarded as, hopefully he comes back a little bit more, like, for him to share his experiences with a younger guy that, you know, is competing against him. I mean, he's not beating him right now, obviously, because Mick is in a Haas, but to see him, like, share his experience and his knowledge with such a young guy like Mick, I wish Lewis, I understand he's never going to do that because Lewis wants to be known as the greatest. I get it. I understand his perspective of it as well, but I kind of wish Lewis would, you know, pick a youngin' to kind of be like, hey, let me take you under my wing, show you. But I get why he doesn't. So, yeah. But my 5th is Sebastian. I really like him.
He's like the grid dad. It just seems like he's so much older than all of them and just wants everyone to do well and have a good time.
Yeah. And it's also so just cute. Really hate what Ferrari did to him. I mean, yeah. Like, I understand telling him so early in the season. I understand why people say not to do that, but also understand why people do that. But I think that whole situation, I'm sure there was so much that was going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, where they were, you know, throwing Seb under the bus and stuff like that. So, that kind of honestly made me not such a big fan of Ferrari, seeing all that happen. But,
yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Ferrari to begin with, but.
Yeah, me either.
Okay. That leads to my number four, which is Seb.
Ooh, I knew it.
So, yeah, all that being said, love Seb. I think he's really cute. Just, he made the Bee Hotel with kids.
Yeah, that's real cute.
On his off days.
So, my fourth is George. Yeah.
Oh.
Also, I do want to see him against Lewis. Like, I want to see.
I agree.
I want to see it for so many reasons. Like, I want to see the type of team orders that are going to be made. You know, obviously they make Valtteri do a lot of, you know, hey, let Lewis by. They put a lot of faith in Lewis, which I understand. But, like, obviously George would be the upcoming driver who's, you know, going to lead them further, because Lewis is probably going to retire within so many years. So I want to see that. I think it'd be very spicy.
I agree. I really want George to get that Mercedes seat, because I think it will also give us an insight into how good Lewis actually is, because the cars are going to be equal. You're going to have, like, the new guy who's looked at as, like, the up-and-coming GOAT, and then you're going to have Lewis, I would say, in his prime. I mean, maybe not, like, maybe on the downside of his prime.
It's hard to know, just because, like, I feel like from, what, 2015 or 2017 to, like, now, Mercedes has just been so dominant, so Lewis has been so dominant. So it's hard to know how good Lewis ever was. I mean, I'm sure he's
amazing. Especially in the seasons when Valtteri was keeping up with Lewis to a certain extent. He wasn't beating Lewis for the most part, but, you know, he was able to keep up with him.
Yeah.
So, I think it'll give insight into how much is the car and how much is just Lewis in fact. Because I do think it's both.
Yeah.
But I would love to see that. Okay.
So,
my number three?
Yeah. I got confused. I was trying to figure out where we were. Max. Did I text you that? I said, I think it's going to be, I didn't think you were that much of a Max fan, but you're also married to a Max fan, so I get it.
Yeah. I mean, I also, his relationship with my number one is also another one of the reasons that he's up there for me. You can't deny that you haven't watched those videos like 18 times.
I know. So in fact, I was going through my favorite for my likes on YouTube, and I was just trying to see, like, what my first Formula One liked YouTube was, and it's them playing the, it's when they were both at Red Bull, them doing the axe throwing. Oh, I thought that video was hilarious. I used to watch that, like, every day.
Yeah, so those moments, I think he is gonna win some titles. Yeah, I just think he's cool, like, how intense and aggressive he is. I don't think there are really many other drivers that are like that on the grid anymore. That's kind of like the caricature of, like, an F1 driver, so they're all mean and intense and focused. And I think Max is the only one on the grid that still fits that personality. But I do like, too, that he also is really goofy in the right situations. So
I will say I've loved them interviewing him and being like, how are you dealing with the mind games or the pressure that Lewis and Mercedes are putting on you? And he just goes, what pressure? Like, I genuinely think Yoss being his dad and how he brought Max up and how he trained him has literally just created, like, everything that he needs to win this title.
I don't even think in his mind he's really competing against Lewis. I think he's competing against himself. I think he knows that he finally has a good car that is good enough to compete against Mercedes, and all that he's focused on is getting the most out of the car.
Yeah, and he has Sergio, who's obviously helping him so much. Yeah. I agree.
I thought about putting Sergio in my top 10, but I don't know that much about him outside of racing.
I will say the video of Max and Sergio going against Yuki and Pierre in, like, they did, like, Austria challenges. He was pretty funny. He made me laugh a couple of times. But, yeah, I just don't know too much about him.
Yeah. Okay. Who's your number three?
Oh, I got some stuff to say about him. My number three is Daniel.
I knew that was going to be your number three.
He's Daniel. I'm like, you really can't not love Daniel. I say that I'm getting very close to not wanting to this season because I'm getting very frustrated. But I understand it's a new car. I'm bummed out that, first of all, I never got to watch Formula One when Daniel, I mean, I know he never really got that close to competing against the Mercedes, but I mean, in 2018, I've seen videos where, you know, he said, like, I'm still a contender. Obviously, he had a bunch of reliability issues in 2018 that kind of ruined that. So yeah, I feel like I've never actually seen Daniel at his best. I mean, he did well at Renault. I think that's what's confusing me is, like, how was he able to go from Red Bull to Renault? And, like, yeah, he didn't have an amazingly good season his first season, but I don't think it was this bad. Like, this has to be by far his worst season ever. Like, not being a rookie.
Well, his first few seasons weren't particularly great. I mean, he was at Toro Rosso, but
I say that, and I also just watched the video, and it was talking about how Daniel Kvyat beat Daniel his first year at Red Bull. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I say that maybe. But I do think, knowing Daniel's history, everybody is very surprised that he hasn't yet figured out how to be consistent in that car.
Okay, let's talk about his 2019 season at Renault. So, in 2019, he had two DNFs in the first two races. I think that was both mechanical. Yes. And then he got seventh place in China. And then in Baku, he backed into Kvyat.
That's my favorite name.
It hurts so much to watch.
Oh, I would have cried if I watched that race.
Yeah, so that was like 6-7 races into the season, and he hadn't had a good race still. So I think it is pretty comparable to his first season at Renault. Granted, I think the McLaren this year is a lot better than that car, so I don't know what the deal is with him, but
I do know he said that whole thing in a Sky Sports promo that we don't get to watch in America. We don't get to watch these fun Sky Sports F1 videos. We don't see them. I only see them on TikTok, and that really pisses me off. But anyways, in one of those videos, he sat down with Natalie, and she was kind of asking him, like, you know, what's going on? And he basically said, normally with a car, you have so much room to work and, like, figure out, like, the good specs on everything, but he said this car, there's a very small window. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I know Lando's also said that the car, he said on a stream like a few days ago, that the car is hard to turn. So I don't know if Daniel feels that way, but I'm sure if Lando's kind of feels that, Daniel probably does. And also, Daniel's whole thing is late braking. So,
yeah,
and
I mean, like, all of his pace comes from.
Yeah, so that's definitely got to be why Lando is so far ahead of him this season.
So
I don't
Daniel
think
Daniel is your number three. Yes. We have the same number two. And that is Carlos Sainz.
Carlos. Oh, I love him.
The
so we can talk about it together. Himself. Yeah, he's my number. He's my number two too. So we can okay.
Yeah.
He honestly just I really want to know because I remember when he was at McLaren, somebody I think maybe said something to Lando in an interview, like, you know, we're really seeing a new Carlos. And I just want to know, like, why? Like, what was, I don't know if, like, why? Like, why was he not like this? I mean, I guess when you're beginning, you don't really want to be as goofy as he is now, I guess. I don't know. I think at Renault, it probably wasn't that fun of an environment for him, maybe. But I love this Carlos. Kind of- Yeah, all the drivers that switched, he's clearly been the standout. He's, I mean, besides maybe Sergio, but yeah, I like him. I like his dad too.
I think he's underrated for his driving as well as his personality. Why are there no people who have Carlos as their favorite driver? I feel like I never see that, which is I a think bit because hypocritical just, he's not my favorite driver either, but.
I really don't. I mean, I'm sure Spain loves him. Like, I mean, he's going against Fernando this season, but obviously he's going to beat Fernando this season easily. So I'm sure he has a lot of, like, fans in Spain. And, like, yeah, I wonder that too. But I think a lot of it's probably because I think people become fans of drivers when they, like, first come into F1, maybe. And, like, when he first came in, there were a bunch of other drivers that people chose. I don't know. I think I really like him.
It's kind of weird to me. He's great. He's so funny. He has so many funny moments.
But that's just been recently. That's been, like, since 2019, so.
But that's been since Drive to Survive has been out and all these people have started watching Formula One.
Well, what I think is so funny, because I'm guilty of this, I thought, oh, Carlos is so funny because of Lando. And I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm thinking Carlos is just hilarious. Like, those videos he does with Charles and Ferrari. One. Yeah, granted, I think, I don't know, maybe Charles has a lot on his plate this season. Yeah, he's definitely coming across like that. But, yeah, I love Carlos. I also love that he has the picture of him and Lando in Brazil in 2019 framed where he got his podium. I think that's precious.
So freaking cute.
Yeah, adore him.
Okay. Are we doing our favorite drivers now? Which I'm sure everyone can figure out.
Yep.
My favorite is Daniel Ricciardo. Obviously. You just, like you said, you can't not love him. He's like the entire personality of F1. He's always smiling. Always having fun. Always having a good time. And he's going to get there with McLaren.
I hope so. He just makes me sad now, right now. It's but like mainly just because I have him coming out of like the Monaco race, like ingrained in my head. Like, I just have those. I get a bunch of random like F1 TikToks. So I'll get him those and I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, man.
It's been a painful season so far, but I have hope that things are going to turn around. We're still pretty early on in the season. I'm not even halfway yet.
Very true, very true.
I thought you were, like, sarcastically saying that.
No, I mean, surely he can only go up. If he goes any worse, then I would say the worst it's ever been was Monaco. Like, him getting lapped by Lando, I'm sure that did not feel good. And on top of that, Lando got podium. That new livery, I was very concerned. I was like, oh, God, is this going to be like a Germany 2019 when Mercedes went all out? And but it wasn't. It kind of was for Daniel, but not for the whole team. So it worked out, I guess.
It was for Daniel. But we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to think about it. We're going to push those painful feelings down. Anyway, Daniel's my favorite. He's great. Love him. We'll always support Daniel. Even when he kind of sucks.
Yeah. So, my favorite is, of course, the driver of the season this year. Freaking Lando Norris. this guy, I would like to preface this because I was thinking about this. I was like, people are going to think I just jumped on the Lando bandwagon this year. No. I remember in 2020. Oh, we didn't really talk about us getting into Formula One, like, really. But in 2020, I decided I was going to watch Formula One. And I kind of picked him because he had funny moments with Daniel. He's a cute little baby face. I think he's very cute. I really like him. So I was like, I'll root for Lando. He'll be my driver. And that first freaking race of 2020, if this son of a gun doesn't come out, get his first podium. I was like so surprised with his season. I mean, I just never
I think would everyone have thought. Is.
I feel like besides that first race, we never really had a reason to believe. We knew he was talented. Obviously, he's in Formula One, but we didn't know, you know, how much. I mean, also that Imola podium, that surely has to be like, I mean, I would say his favorite for this reason, but it could also not be because of this reason. But for him to, you know, he should have put that car on P3, but track limits, and it got knocked down to, like, 8th. I think it was behind Daniel. And for him to come back from, like, that devastation to getting P3, fighting Lewis, I mean, surely he's got to love that trophy, because I would. But, yeah. Love Lando. Daniel
Lando. Lando Norris. Yeah, it is pretty funny how that worked out. Because we were independently fans of them before they were at McLaren.
Yes.
So it's funny.
Very true. I did. How they ended up together. As soon as it got announced that, oh, Daniel and Lando are going to be teammates, and everybody was freaking out. They're like, oh my gosh, we're going to have such great content. I literally said, watch. They are not going to gel. It's going to be really weird. Which I don't think, a lot of people, I think, thought it was, they weren't having a good relationship because Lando's done so well and Daniel hasn't necessarily. But I think Lando's even said this. They just don't have a lot in common. I mean, there's like a 10-year age gap there. Like, Daniel likes drinking, likes wine. He does like other sports. Lando does golf and he streams on Twitch. What are they
going
to...
Yeah, they don't really jive.
Yeah. But I think...
Which is why I don't really jive with Lando.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do both appreciate each other. Like, I think it's really funny Daniel's getting asked, like, who's the harder teammate, Max or Lando? Obviously, I would assume it's Max. Granted, the one thing I think about Lando, and I want to knock on wood, he doesn't put a foot wrong, really. He's someone that, if anything, you kind of worry he's not putting the car on the limit. Because he doesn't really ever screw up. And I know something bad. Now something horrible is going to happen. Silverstone is going to be my fault. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even Zach has said, like, he's a rock star. Like, he doesn't really ever mess up.
I can't think of any, like, major mistakes that he's made. Like, I think the worst thing I can think of is when his track time and qualifying got deleted. That's...
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of.
Yeah. But yeah. I love Lando.
I also don't think that... everyone wants to say it's, like, awkward between Daniel and Lando because Lando's outperforming Daniel. And, like, Daniel's upset about it. I don't think that Daniel is that way anymore. I think he learned with Max that he just needs to, like, focus on himself and his race and not really be concerned with what his teammates are doing because that kind of... From what I've read and what he said in interviews, like, that really got to his head, like, his competition with Max. And he vowed to not let it get like that anymore. So I think Daniel is pretty chill about it. I don't think he really cares.
Yeah. I think he also, I think the only frustration Daniel probably has is off of, you know, knowing that the clock's ticking with him. And that at this point, he has to get it right with McLaren. He has to hope that they have a great car next year and can get him that title. Obviously, he wants the title, but, I mean, he's, you know, he's not the oldest, but he's getting older, obviously.
He's getting up there.
So, I think he is getting more frustrated with time than anything, I would assume.
Yeah, Those are our favorite drivers.
Yep.
Okay. So now we can talk about the race this weekend and the new sprint race qualifying rules and how we think that's going to go.
Do you want me to go over the layout?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's go over, like, how it's going to change because my thoughts kind of go into that. So Friday, 60-minute practice, like always. And then Friday is qualifying that we would normally have on Saturday. But the big difference being they're only going to use soft tires. And I think they only get 5 sets of soft tires, I want to say. So that's going to change, and that sets the grid for the sprint qualifying the next day. Sprint but race. Before the sprint race qualifying, they have another practice session for 60 minutes. And also, with the sprint race, they're able to use any tire choice, right? I'm pretty sure they can use any tire choice.
I think so.
For that. And it's going to be 17 laps of Silverstone, 100 kilometers. They don't have to do a pit stop. DRS is enabled. First place gets 3 points, second place gets 2 points, and third place gets 1 point. And then that finishing grid sets the Sunday race grid, which they have free tire choice for. That's where my kind of thoughts come into it. I think that is going to be crazy. Like, I think that's going to impact it more so than the qualifying race. Because I think the qualifying race is going to be a dumpster fire, if I'm honest. I don't really like it. Dumpster? Yeah, I think either too much is going to happen or nothing's going to happen. Because I don't see any team, maybe other than Williams, maybe just George, pushing that car. And, you know, actually trying to gain spots. And maybe Charles. He's been a little risky. But, like, I know Lewis and Max will probably go at it.
Can you imagine if there's a huge crash in the sprint race and teams are, like, what happens if you wreck your car in the sprint race? Because you're only going to have 24 hours to fix it. I mean, what are the odds someone screws up really bad, takes out 2 or 3 cars? Because you're going to be more aggressive because you don't have the full race to make up your spot. So you've got to make up your spots in the first few laps.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be aggressive at all, honestly. I think every team, like, you know how there's a gentleman agreement, supposedly, among the grid? That's come into play this season with Mazepin and all that. But I think there's kind of going to be team agreements where it's like, hey, tell your drivers not to, like, screw any of us up, because I don't think any of them necessarily wanted this. And I think I heard that they're actually getting money because they're doing this and, like, they're testing it out. And I'm assuming that's why all the teams kind of agreed to it. But, yeah. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't think anything's really going to change. I say that. I hope my drivers are still consistent in it.
Very interesting. Well, I think McLaren will benefit from it because both McLaren drivers have good race pace. Daniel obviously has struggled in qualifying, but has made up 3 or 4 or 5 spots in the first few laps of the race. So I could see Lando and Daniel finishing with, like, the Mercedes and the Red Bulls at 5 or 6, if not higher.
I think Daniel will get more out of it. I worry about Lando just because, I don't know, I always worry about Lando, honestly. I always get nervous. The better he gets, the more nervous I get. I'm like, dude, please, just, I want him to stay consistent.
You are.
And he has so far.
I'm a bit ridiculous.
I don't know. I think George specifically is going to be somebody to watch because he's also pretty good about making up positions. I mean, not so much when he starts P8 or P10. He kind of falls back a little bit.
Williams doesn't have the pace. That car does not have the pace. Yeah. I think he's going to come out worse. because he can qualify eighth in one lap and be, you know, make it into Q3 if it's just one lap. But if we're talking 17 laps, I don't think that car can be fast enough for 17 laps for him to finish in the top 10.
I think it could potentially. I wouldn't bet money on it, but I think potentially. Well, also, I've heard that this is going to be like their nightmare, basically, just because of how windy it is, and the car is best in Austria where there's like hardly any wind. So I've heard that the next race that Williams could potentially have a good season is going to be Hungary. So yeah, I don't really have high hopes for Williams at this race anymore now that I'm thinking about it. But you never know with George.
I'm on the Formula One schedule for ESPN, and they have listed practice at 9:30 a.m. Friday. They have qualifying at 1 p.m. Friday.
Really?
Then they have practice 2, 7 a.m. Saturday. And then the next they have listed is the race on Sunday. And part of me is concerned that they're not going to show the sprint race. Surely they will. But it's weird that it's not on their official schedule.
I mean, I have Formula One TV, so I'm not too worried about it. We'll definitely be able to watch it. But yeah, that's weird.
I'll get Formula One TV.
I would be very surprised if this layout stayed or became permanent.
Yeah, I don't think they'll keep it permanent. I wonder if they will do it for circuits that it suits. I don't really know what that would be, but I could see them saying we do this 6 races a season, unless the teams just raise hell about it and are like, this is too expensive and too difficult, and we can't do this.
Well, what do you think the other 2 races are going to be? Because I think I know what they could potentially be, because they're doing it in 2 more races.
I think it could be COTA. Which would be pretty nuts, because we will be there.
That's one of the ones I was thinking.
I don't know the other one.
We'll see. It's because I thought this was already confirmed, but I guess it's not. I think it's going to be at Monza.
Yeah, that's the other one I was saying. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I wonder if they're waiting to see how it goes. I guess that's what they're doing. They're waiting to see how it goes before they decide what the other 2 races will be. That would make sense. Yeah. But it'll be
well. Should we talk about what we think is going to be a big news event that is going to come out of that weekend? Yeah. So,
we think
George is going to be announced as the Mercedes 2022 driver. Okay. So before people, because I know this was a rumor after Imola, people were like, oh, this is going to happen. And Toto's even kind of said like,
season, basically.
Yeah. And I think it just becomes after every race more and more likely. And Toto in the beginning was like, no, we wouldn't do that. People also thought they were going to change in the middle of this season, and I was like, why would they ever do that? Like, in what world?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
But yeah, I think it's very likely. And we know that George wanted to know where he would be before the big summer break. So that's only this race in Hungary, right? Because after Hungary, they do the 3-week summer break, I think, in August.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So,
well, I think George dropped a little hint on his Instagram.
Yeah.
With him, the picture of him washing his Mercedes saying, you take care of the things you love. I don't know. I think that was a little teaser.
I will say this season I've kind of empathized with Valtteri more. I feel like he's really been given a shit hand. I think I understand he didn't start out good. I know in Imola, he was pretty far back, and that race was like a Williams should not have been trying to overtake a Mercedes. That's just insane. But Monaco, Monaco really pisses me off because Toto implied that he went over the lines by like a centimeter, and that made the guys with those guns like have to maneuver a certain way that isn't normal. Bull crap. Yeah,
that was completely out of line. I don't know why he ever said that. I don't know why it's so hard for him to admit that Mercedes made a mistake, because he's fine throwing Valtteri under the bus.
Mm-hmm. But, and he's also fine throwing the team under the bus with the whole magic button in Baku.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, that was not your fault. That was King Lewis's fault.
I'm a Toto fan usually, but this season, he has really had some points docked.
It's looked sloppy over there. It has looked so strange. It doesn't look like the well-oiled Mercedes machine that we normally see. But I don't know if it's the pressure.
I don't know. It might be. I mean, they've been on top for so many years and haven't really had to try that hard, I would imagine. And so now for things to be this competitive, I could see them slipping. Because Red Bull has performed at this intensity like the entire time. Because they're trying to beat the best. And Mercedes hasn't had to perform at this high level. There was the story where Patty Lowe said that in qualifying, they were limiting the engine.
Yeah.
So, I think it's very interesting. And it's very fun to watch.
Yeah, also love Christian kind of being like, I don't agree with Toto throwing his team under the bus. I think that makes sense coming from Christian. I feel like if he's going to throw anybody under the bus, it's going to be the second driver. But by saying that, I mean it's just going to be Pierre. Because Christian only ever spoke highly of Alex. Also, Alex should have been in my top 10. I wish he could have been in my top 10. We need to have a whole episode dedicated to Alex because there's a lot to say about him. But I love him. Anyways.
We can do a whole episode just about like the whole aftermath of Daniel leaving. We could talk about that for like an hour.
I've mentioned to you before just how it opened up so many doors. I mean, we got Pierre, we got Alex, we got Carlando. So many things happened. So we should do that. Okay. Do you want to do predictions?
Yeah.
Don't we just have two predictions of what we think?
Yeah.
Will happen. Okay, you can go.
Okay, my first prediction. I think that this is the race that Daniel finishes ahead of Lando. I think this is going to be his best race of the season.
Let me say my prediction, because I think one of these will happen. Mine is that Daniel is going to be out in Q2. The reason I say this is because...
Are you talking about qualifying on Friday? He'll be out in Q2?
Yes. I say this because he's only going to have one practice session this time to get stuff right. And I think he's going to struggle with that. I think there's more turns this circuit than Austria. And we know that the turns is what gets him right now. So... I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, honestly, because I don't want to see it happen again. But I think there's a possibility. Well,
The whole thing with the sprint race is qualifying really doesn't matter much because you have two opportunities to make up for it. And we know Daniel is really good at gaining positions in the first couple of laps. He has great starts, usually better than Lando's, and he's going to make up places. Also, Silverstone is their home track, so he's driven that McLaren there before. They tested there. I mean, not extensively, but he has driven the McLaren there. So I don't think he needs as much practice time.
We'll see. So
this is a hope and a prayer. But I think that this will be his best race of the season so far. I'm putting it out into the universe.
Okay. I mean, it has to happen at some point.
Yeah. I think now's the time. We're going to do it this weekend. Okay, what's your other prediction?
My other prediction, I hope this doesn't happen, but both Ferraris are going to make it into Q3. I think...
I could see that.
I think they're specifically better with turns than they are in the straights, so I think it's pretty likely that they'll both make it into Q3. I hope Carlos does, no doubt about it, but Charles, I wouldn't mind if he didn't. But I think...
Charles has a huge wreck at the beginning of the
sprint race. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But those are... I feel like that's more of a safe option. I feel like it's more likely that the Ferraris will both make it into Q3.
Okay, I can see it. Okay, so my top five prediction for how I think the race will finish. I have Max winning the race, Lewis in second, Sergio in third, Valtteri in fourth, and I have Daniel in fifth.
As soon as I heard your first prediction, I knew that was going to be who you were going to put in fifth.
Yeah.
I'm nervous because Toto already said we're going to show up to Silverstone and be 1-2. So I'm scared. I don't like him when he's mad. And I know, but I think they're mad. I think they've had 2 weeks to get their crap together. So I'm nervous. So I put Lewis, Max, Sergio, Valtteri, and I have Leclerc/Norris. And I think Leclerc probably. I don't know. I don't want it to be. I'm kind of waiting for there to be another Barcelona where Lando does struggle. So I'm preparing myself every race for that. But I mean, like you said, at Silverstone, he's raced that McLaren there 2 seasons in a row now. This will be his third. So I don't know. I hope he can make some magic happen. That'd be nice, but who knows?
We will find out. By the way, I saw on Twitter, it says McLaren Racing statement on incident involving Lando Norris at Wembley Stadium last night. And I was like,
what?
So apparently Lando was involved in an incident during which the watch he was wearing was taken.
Oh, the Richard Mille?
I think so.
So I'm confused. Says, like, what
thankfully
happened?
Thankfully, Lando, they didn't go into detail. They said, thankfully, Lando was unharmed, but he is understandably shaken. The team is supporting Lando, and we are sure that racing fans will join us in wishing him all the best for the British Grand Prix this weekend. As this is now a police matter, we cannot comment further.
What the heck?
So how wild is that?
Well, now I'm scared. No. See, like, I wonder what... Because he was at that race with Max Futrell.
The game?
Yeah, he was at the game with Max Futrell.
You said the race.
Oh, I meant the game.
Did he get into a fight? Like, I want to know what happened.
They kind of made it seem like he kind of got mugged. That's how they made it seem.
Yeah.
Because Lando wasn't going to fight anybody. So, like,
hopefully nothing really went down. I'm pretty sure it happened after the game when they lost.
Yeah, like, I wonder what, genuinely, I wonder what happened. Like, I wonder if whoever did whatever, like, knew it was Lando Norris. Or if they just saw the Richard Mille and was like, I want it.
They had to have known that it was him and to know that that was an expensive watch. Like, I would imagine that he was targeted.
I think Richard Mills are pretty... I mean, ever since I saw the Nadal wear one, every time I see one, I'm like, that's Richard Mill. But I don't know. That makes me really sad.
I'm sure he'll tell the story on the Twitch stream.
I doubt it. I would be surprised if you talk about that.
All right. Well,
change accounts.
I think that's all we have to talk about for now.
It is.
Oh, that's the end of our first episode of Two Sisters Formula One and then some. We will be back for a race recap after Silverstone. We'll let you know our thoughts, our many feelings. And we'll see how close we came to our predictions.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye.